Good morning, and welcome to this news event sponsored by my firm, Pfeiffer Wolf Carr & Kane, and the firm of Meyer Wilson. My name is Joe Pfeiffer. Before I dive into my statement, I ask that you keep all of your questions until the Q&A period. We promise we'll be here and we'll be available to answer all your questions. You'll be hearing from me today and three other speakers in the following order. First, you're going to have Tony Chiazzo Neff. She's the whistleblower, the one who stood up courageously to Wall Street and told the truth about GPP. Next, you'll have Courtney Werning, an attorney from Meyer Wilson, and finally, my partner, Jason Kane of Pfeiffer Wolf Carr & Kane. We're here today for two reasons. First, to hear the story of the whistleblower, Tony here. And second, to announce the most significant class action filed to date against GPP Capital Holdings. I am astonished to see that there is still news coverage out there that treats GPP as a real business enterprise instead of the Ponzi-like scheme that two of its former executives have described it as. As the lawsuit that we filed today shows, GPP Capital was rotten to its core from day one, and it is a financial scheme that has taken over $2 billion from hardworking Americans. You'll hear in a few moments from the whistleblower who exposed the GPP Capital scandal. The story is as shocking as it is true. Here's what she uncovered. GPP was a Ponzi scheme with connections to the Russian mob, rife with conflicts of interest and illicit sources of funding. The Pfeiffer Wolf Meyer Wilson lawsuit being filed today, in fact just filed, names GPP Capital CEO David Gentile in a series of limited partnerships, including those for auto, waste management, and cold storage, and a host of other individuals and auditors. After our firms have spent hundreds of hours and tens of thousands of dollars, I can tell you this. The simple truth is that GPP Capital was rotten to its core from day one. Behind the public-facing facade of GPP Capital and its funds lurked a complex web of shady entities and individuals who propped up, facilitated, and financially benefited from every phase of the GPP Capital Ponzi-like scheme. It's like a bad onion, where every time you peel a stinking layer off of the outer surface, you found another layer of rot underneath. In the case of GPP, each putrid layer ultimately profited off the unwary investors who put nearly $2 billion of their hard-earned money into the GPP machine. Here's some of what we found. The Russian crime connections to GPP. While the GPP Ponzi scheme formally began in 2013, the seeds of this fraud were sowed years before when CEO David Gentile became involved with a reputed Eastern European organized crime family headed by Mikhail Chernaya, a.k.a. Michael Cherny. Gentile's relationship with Chernaya, his organization, and his family ultimately led to GPB's first portfolio assets and GPB investor funds flowing to Chernaya's organization. Michael Chernaya's ties to foreign crime syndicates, the mafia, and Russian oligarchs are well documented and extensive. He's been denied a visa by the United States. He's been barred from Bulgaria. He's been wanted on Interpol. Yet he has made millions off the backs of hardworking Americans. Impossible financial promises. With 8% going directly off the top of the brokers and another big chunk going directly to the GPB principals, it was economically impossible for the GPB funds to return a real profit, meaning not investor money, but a real profit to investors. Massive conflicts of interest. The principals behind GPB Capital first put together entities to serve as underwriters as the GPB funds. In other words, the people that were running GPB also set up the underwriters that were going to fund GPB. This kind of self-dealing is flagrant, and it's an outrageous conflict of interest. GPB. How do we remember that in my office? Greedy problem brokers. That's part of the story here. Blinded by sky-high commissions of 8% or more, brokers sold the limited partnership investments to investors and other class members, and the brokerage firms knew or should have known that this was a Ponzi-like scheme, knew or should have known that it had ties to a crime family, knew or should have known that it was rife with conflicts of interest. But they sold it anyway. Why? Because of the outsized commissions that GPB was offering. Why was GPB having to offer those kinds of commissions? So that people wouldn't look deeper. Auditors papered over abuses. Auditors and other helpers. You don't have a $2 billion Ponzi scheme without people that helped. You have auditors that covered up the misdeeds, that papered over the problems, and ultimately, without these kinds of helpers, $2 billion could not have been raised from hardworking Americans. And that is just some of what we've uncovered. We have limited time, but we have this, like I said, is an onion. And it's like the biggest, rottenest onion I've ever seen. Every time we look around the corner and every day we discover something new and worse about GPB Capital. But it really, a lot of this goes back to the work of Tony, who's here with us today. Tony Kazoneff is a hero to me. She's a brave individual who's done investors an immense public service by operating ethically under pressures to act otherwise. She refuses to knuckle under to the forces of greed and graft and instead stands up for what is right. How rare is that, and how sad is it that that is rare? Our firm and our clients will not be intimidated. You'll hear what has happened to Tony as a result of her trying to blow the whistle. You'll hear her story of discovering GPB's rotten core, her story of attempting to save investors, and the system's utter failure to protect her and investors. And you'll hear about the recent intimidation tactics trying to silence her. To those that wish to intimidate Tony into silence, I have a message for you. Don't go after Tony. Don't go after her family. I'm here. I'm going to be here until we get the last dollar back for investors, until we find out exactly what happened here. My name is Joe Pfeiffer, P-E-I-F-F-E-R. If you want to come after anybody up here, leave Tony and her family alone. Come after us. It's my pleasure now to invite Tony Kazoneff to the podium to make a statement. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for that introduction, Joe. This is all a little nerve-wracking and overwhelming, but I'm glad to be here today. You probably noticed the security as you came into the room. That's what my life is like these days. The local police where I live know to keep an eye out for me, and they already know we had a nearly bad situation when the lug nuts were loosened from the wheel of my car. I'm stepping out into the public spotlight today because it makes me safer and because it's the right thing to do. Before I begin, I want to thank Pfeiffer Wolf, Karin Hayes, and Meyer Wilson for the work they have done. In many ways, they have picked up where I started with GPB Capital, and I am glad to be able to work with them. I spent several years as a financial examiner at what was once called NAFC regulation and is now called FINRA. In 20 years of doing this kind of work, you learn how to play by the rules and you pretty much end up thinking that you've seen everything. That's what I thought until I saw GPB Capital and the whole constellation of entities, people, brokerage firms, auditors, and others that made it possible. I first became aware of GPB Capital in 2016 when I was asked to conduct due diligence on the firm from my employer, Persh Kaplan Sterling Investments Incorporated. Initially, Persh Kaplan accepted my recommendation against having anything to do with GPB Capital. But over time, the lure of 8% or higher commissions on GPB had the same effect at Persh Kaplan that they did at scores of other brokerage firms. When Persh Kaplan management later went around me and decided to sell GPB Capital against my recommendation, I reported the situation to FINRA and was then fired. Later, I also reported my concerns on a confidential basis to the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. I refused to change my views because my due diligence uncovered a complex scheme which was rife with conflicts of interest, dubious players in the United States with checkered backgrounds, and later, connections to organized crime in Russia. Worst of all, it was apparent that GPB Capital was not set up as a business, but as a flim-flam scheme. It was all there in black and white in a way that any practiced financial examiner, compliance officer, or due diligence officer could see. What did I take away from all of this? It would be nice to think that Wall Street cleaned up its act after Bernie Madoff, but what I found in my research at GPB Capital was another massive Ponzi-like scheme that was designed to strip money from investors, all while appearing to be conducted by a legitimate, above boards Wall Street companies. The truth is that GPB Capital hid behind a paper-thin veneer of respectability that could be easily pierced with routine due diligence work. I'm astonished that U.S. brokerage firms, large and small, allow themselves to be blinded by big commissions, and in so doing, willingly got in bed with GPB Capital. By refusing to go along with this, I lost my job and was made a pariah in my industry. When Michael Combs, the SEC official who was indicted by the Justice Department, left the commission, he took confidential investigation files to his new employers at GPB Capital. I have no doubt in my mind that they now know exactly what I exposed about them before. That is why I am glad to see a broader and concerted effort underway to expose the full extent of what GPB Capital has been doing and to find justice for the investors who have been victimized. Thank you. That concludes my opening statement.
Good morning. My name is Courtney Learning, and I'm an attorney at the law firm of Meyer Wilson. My law firm took the laboring oar in putting together the class action complaint that was filed just this morning on behalf of GPB investors. Together, our two firms, Piper Wolf and Meyer Wilson, have recovered hundreds of millions of dollars for investors, and our combined experience, sophistication, and resources make our team unmatched in this area. GPB Capital and its filthy affiliates are the focus of today's class action filing, but I want to spend a minute to talk about the wolves that are not in the room and are not in the class action case. And that's the greedy, unscrupulous broker-dealers that peddled the fraudulent scheme onto their clients solely to generate enormous commissions for themselves. What Tony's story highlights is a serious problem in the industry. Brokerage firms intentionally burying their heads in the sand, ignoring outrageous red flags that should have prevented them from selling GPB to anyone, period. What Tony uncovered during her investigation was not buried deep beneath the surface. Any reasonable inquiry into GPB would have uncovered the irreconcilable conflicts of interest and probable fraud. Doing that investigation for the brokerage firms is not optional. It's required in this industry. But more than 60 brokerage firms across the country approved GPB for sale on their platforms, thereby knowingly offering their clients a financial ticking time bomb. In addition to the class action case, we are filing dozens of individual cases around the country against the brokerage firms who sold the scheme to its customers. So rest assured, we plan to also hold the brokerage firms responsible for their own reckless conduct, one brokerage firm at a time. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jason Payne, and I'm a partner at Piper Wolf Carr & Kane. As the attorney who has spent the most time working with Tony, I want to spend just a few moments talking about the process that she's gone through as a whistleblower and the details I've been able to verify while working with her. Tony was doing what I think we all hope broker-dealer firm employees around the country do. She simply was doing her job, discovering the conflict of interest that existed between the principals of GPB and what appears to be the first asset within the GPB portfolio was not difficult. She used Pacer and Google. These are two search engines that legal and compliance professionals use or should use on a daily basis. Her investigation led to a simple and obvious discovery. David Deck Gentile was an owner of two car dealerships with the Trenaya family. Those dealerships were ultimately purchased by GPB in May of 2013, the Ponzi scheme, GPB, the Ponzi scheme of which David Gentile was and is the CEO of. The conflict of interest here was obvious and caused Tony to recommend to her broker-dealer firm to stay away. And frankly, that should have been the end of it. And I've got to say, having verified what Tony discovered, everyone who sold GPB, every broker-dealer firm who sold GPB, should have discovered this and stayed away. What happened next to Tony is horrible,